Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, our guest is John Ponce. He's a sports dad and successful youth sports coach who also played on the Armed Forces National Team in soccer, boxed at the All-Army level, and played football and was the captain of the boxing team at West Point. He has some questions about his role as a sports parent.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, John. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, John.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
So tell me, first this background, tell me which, you have three children, and which children you have questions about. It sounds like they're all good athletes like you.
Well, they're all good athletes. I would say my daughter is the oldest, and she doesn't take it. She does it for fun. You know, it's not life or death. And I realized at a certain point in her development, I was more worried about the results of her games than she was, which is probably not a good sign. So I kind of backed off there and let her enjoy it and go out to her games to have fun. Both my sons are playing at a much different level. They are both on nationally ranked youth soccer teams. They're both extremely competitive. They can get on those teams. They're pretty religious about it almost. And they both are very interested in pursuing the game as a career at some point.
Well, now let me interrupt, okay, for a second, because I want to read the question you asked, because I really like the way you worded it.
Okay.
And this is what you wrote us. If your boys want to play a professional sport with all their heart and their dream is set and they are both excellent players who push each other very hard and they have top-notch instruction in every opportunity, what is the parent's role? It's a really great question. And you go on to ask some other questions that we can discuss. But I guess the bottom line is, at what point are you pushing them too hard, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So why don't you tell us more specifically why you worry about pushing them too hard?
Well, we all know the parents that are on the sidelines and screaming at their kids and demanding absolute perfection. And, you know, every level of involvement, some of which makes it very difficult for the coach to even coach their kids because the parents have become such a problem at it. I obviously don't want to get there. The opposite side of the coin, let me think of the best way to word this. I want my kids to be able to fulfill their dreams. I want them, if they really want to be professional soccer players, I want them to be able to reach that level. I want to push them as hard as I possibly can help them to reach that goal.
Mm-hmm.
The issue I have is, what I don't want to have happen more than anything else is for them to look back on their life and say, if I just tried harder, if I just got better instruction, if I just worked a little harder, I could have gotten there. I don't want them to have regrets about not having given it their all to get there. So as a father, how do I push them as hard as possible? How do I expose them to the right coaching, the right mentality, to the right movies, books, whatever it is that motivates them, take them to the right matches, do those kinds of things, to give them as much exposure to it as possible, get them in as good shape as they can be in all those things, help them, because coaches at this level tend to coach at a team level, and somebody has to also help them develop individually in their individual skills and their individual mindset and those kinds of things. So how do I coach them to a certain level without becoming one of those dads who's so demanding that the kid has to question, do my parents only love me if I play a great game, that kind of stuff. So where is the line that you draw to get them to realize you're opening doors for them, you're helping them in every way possible, you support them 100%, but you're not demanding of them things which they may not be able to deliver.
Well, you know what? I think this is a great question. Patrick, what do you think?
Okay. Let me ask a couple of questions first. So when you say about your role as a parent, it's more than the whole how much should you push that component. You're talking more about how do you go about supporting them. So am I missing anything in terms of when you say the role of a parent in this case?
I think what you just said is a huge and integral part of it. Actually, my wife and I have kind of divvied up the roles and responsibilities somewhat. Mm-hmm. My wife is, when they come off the field, I do to them exactly what my father did to me, which is without, in a non-threatening environment, say, okay, here's where I thought you did extremely well, here's the break, and here's the things that we still need to work on. My wife, on the other hand, will tell them, oh, you were wonderful, you did great, that was fantastic. And they appreciate that because they get the love and support they need, but they also are fairly dismissive of it because they know she's going to say that even if they were terrible. So my role and her roles are very different, and we recognize that, and we actually talk about it a great deal about, all right, she'll say you're pushing them a little too hard, or I'll say you're being a little too easy on them, and they're not even hearing you because they recognize that they screwed up. So we're both trying to get to the point where we play different roles that cooperatively support the kid, yes, but also, you know, I take my kids out a couple nights a week and we do a couple hours worth of individual skills training, dribbling, shooting, all that kind of stuff, because they don't get that in the team level practice. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just support. It's also to continue to refine their skills, to do reading, to study, and to make sure that I'm staying ahead of the latest techniques and all those kinds of things so that I can help them get better and better. As a perfect example, when I played in the Armed Forces National Team and pretty much every team I ever played on, I played up front as a striker. Now, how I grew three kids that all three play defense is beyond me. I don't know how that happened, but they're all three wonderful defenders, and they love it there, and that's where they want to play. To me, that would be anathema. I hated playing defense. So I had to learn how to play defense and the techniques on defense and all that because I'd never done it in my life so that I could train them up. And that's part of the role as a parent, too, to help them, to not try to make them into your mold, but to help them get where they can get within their own capabilities.
Okay. All right. Very good. No, I understand the question. Well, I always start out with parents. How old are the boys?
My boys are 12 and 10.
Okay, so they're young.
Yeah.
I always start out from the perspective of talking about expectations and parental expectations, I think, in this particular case. And having the boys and you, both of you, understand what is the chances of going pro. Now, I don't want to throw all this, you know, realistic stuff at you, but I think they have to understand that you can have talent, you can have hard work, you can have a great mental game, you can have all the components, but still not, you know, have it as a career. So you have to be able to manage your expectations and their expectations. Having goals is fine, but what I recommend to parents is, it's a long way out. Even
right.
Talking about, like, college scholarships, it's way off, right?
So you know what? You know what, though? And I don't mean to interrupt. I apologize. But you said some important things, and I want to make sure we cover them. Number one, it really isn't. There's kids on the team older than them that just got picked up to play in the farm club of AC Milan that are 13 and 14 years old. That soccer in these games and the way they play now, my 10-year-old son's team's ranked number one in the country last year.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids are getting looked at. They're getting scouted for these kinds of teams. So it starts pretty early.
Well, and that's where I'm going. I mean, give
okay.
me a second.
Sure.
Let me finish the thought. My recommendation is have the long-term goal. That's great. But what you want to focus on as a parent is this year, this season, this
right.
upcoming season, and how you're going to help them and support them to reaching this year's goals.
Right.
Because to me, it's about a step-by-step process. Is you want to focus on right now, this year, this season. And I even focus my students on, you know, this week and this month, what you can do. So to me, less discussion about that longer-term approach, like who's going to pick you up at those farm teams, versus the shorter-term discussion about what are we going to do this season for your goals and how can I help, you know, accelerate your chances of being, you know, eventually picked up by one of those farm teams, as you say. So I think that really needs to be the immediate focus.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think I'll give you an example of how we have tried to incorporate that mindset, both the short term and the long. my son's coach, they play for a club called Pinecrest Premier down here that's just phenomenal. And my youngest son's coach is also the director of the program. And he said to a bunch of parents and kids, if you really want to spend this summer improving, take every right-footed shot, because the kids are right-footed, most of them, for every right-footed shot you take three left-footed shots. Because most kids at any level, like I was saying before, I played at a pretty high level, and I never had a left foot. So we did that all summer long. We took a couple hundred shots a day, and 3-1, it was left foot to right foot. Well, they came back with terrific left-footed shots and left-footed dribbling, left-footed passing because of this. Now, where it builds into the longer picture, and like you said, have short-term goals to build it. I told them about a book I read a while back by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers. And in it, he takes, you know, the 10,000-hour rule that's in there. I'm sure you probably know more about that than I do. But he went to the music conservatory in Germany and divided the class up into three groups, one which is the prodigies, two which is the, you know, very good orchestral-level players, and the third was the school teacher level, which weren't quite as good. And what he found was out of the top group, all of them had practiced for more than 10,000 hours to get there. And more importantly, out of the other two groups, none of them had practiced for more than 10,000 hours. So none of them were able to get to that top group. And he believes that that's a divining point. And what I preach to my kids is it's commitment. The number of hours you put in is how many hours. And my sons will say things like, you think I'm at 2,000 hours yet, Dad? That kind of thing. So to me, doing short-term goals towards building long-term goals, which is to get to that level of exercising their potential, is how we're trying to approach exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Well, now, I have a quick question. Your sons are totally on board with this, correct?
Let me tell you a great little story about that, if you've got the time. We practiced every night over the summer, pretty much, and we were going out to a field, a middle school by us, and practicing. And we've got all the stuff at home, but this field's really nice, and we're practicing there. And we practiced Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they did two nights with us just individually, and there was a girls' older team practice in there that they know very well, so they practiced with them. On Friday night, I took them over there, and on my way over there, it was starting to rain. I thought, if it's raining, I'm just going to take them out to dinner and a movie and say, you guys have earned this. I already cleared it with my wife and everything. So we pull up at the field, and it's raining. And I said, guys, I got a little surprise for you. You've worked already hard this week. Let's go see dinner and a movie. And the two of them looked at each other, and the younger one said, Dad, we need to practice. And I looked at them and said, you guys practice every night this week. And the older one said, Dad, we can go to the movie tomorrow. We need to practice tonight. And this is over the summer. There's no game coming up or anything like that. So I would say they may be more on board with it than I am.
That's interesting.
I was amazed.
I think Lisa's getting at the point that the level of this additional support that you're talking about is going to be dictated by how much they're buying into this and how much they want. Is that where you're going, Lisa?
Well, yeah. I'm just wondering. The sense that I got from John's letter was that everybody was on board and everybody was enjoying all this hard work, which is a little bit different than what we hear from some of the parents who have to push their kids pretty hard. So I guess that's what I was saying is my sense is that the kids are on board with all this.
Well, it's an interesting question because, to be frank with you, there's two different pieces to that. My daughter is definitely not. She has said at the beginning of the summer, I want to practice with you guys, but every time there's an opportunity to practice, she's got something else to do. So, and that's fine. She's not, this isn't what she wants to do for the rest of her life. So that's fine. My boys, what really drives them and gets them on board is how different the two of them are. The younger one is ridiculously naturally talented. His coaches have commented on it, and the bottom line is he could pick up anything the first time. But he wouldn't push himself as hard if his older brother wasn't unbelievably disciplined about how hard he works. And it has rubbed off to where now the younger one has basically through what I would call transformational leadership, the younger one has picked that up. And his coach came to me the other day and said he really has the best work ethic I've ever seen of a kid his age. That's because he's been following his brother and seeing it in his brother, who doesn't need any external motivation. He's the most motivated kid you'd ever be around. So they really feed off each other and kind of build each other. And one more point. I think I love the fact that you said shooting for playing pro is such a small percentage, it's unrealistic. My older one's coach, who was a coach we fought hard to get on his team, and he's just amazing, actually said to me, look, my goal is not to get these kids to play pro. My goal is not even to get these kids to get a college scholarship. My goal is for these kids to be good enough at this game to where they can get into a college that they might not otherwise be able to get into. And I love that thought process. And he doesn't sweat, you know, if we lose a game, he doesn't, you know, tear out his hair and gnash his teeth. He keeps the big picture in mind. I'm developing these boys. I have seen him in kind of a Hoosiers-like fashion take and bench a kid for acting like he shouldn't on the field, whether he's upset about something or saying something to the ref or something like that, and sacrifice a game to make sure that kid learns the right thing. So I agree 100% that the goal here is not just these kids have to play pro. It's to make them into young leaders. It's to get them into schools. It's to do the kinds of things that enable them to set them up for success later on in life.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.